I am unashamed. What about you?
All right, so obvious.
So I noticed that this morning that, because you last week we were doing a podcast and you informed us that you had not bathed in days.
Revolting.
If not weeks. But you came in today, I noticed your hair was kind of wet. So does that mean you finally took the plunge or what?
I didn't listen to the health authorities as I should, because when they talked about washing your hands and personal hygiene, I just woke up this morning and looked around. I said, when's the last time I washed my head, you know, as in wash your hair? And I thought, good night, it'd been a couple of weeks. So I said, a couple of weeks. So I go in there and turn the faucet on, stick my head up on it, get me some of that high-dollar shampoo, and I actually wash my hair, as the women say.
Only Phil would refer to shampoo as high-dollar.
Well, my personal hygiene, I'm going to tell you, since the pandemic come along, my personal hygiene has dropped dramatically.
Well, I'm glad you've surrendered to their advice. That made me think of our grandpa. Remember that there was so much iron in the water that every time he would wash his hair, it would go from silver to blonde.
Yeah.
Remember that?
With kind of an orange tint.
Yeah.
And I
because
thought.
Because there was so much iron and sulfur.
Are you defeating the purpose if you change hair colors of the iron in the water?
But he was. Trust me, Paul was smoking 5 packs of cigarettes a day. He needed to wash a little more frequently.
Well, Phil, we glad.
The combination of BO and cigarette smoke is not good.
As someone who is concerned about germs somewhat, I appreciate you.
Yeah, me too.
Well,
we're all on board.
And look, just for so people don't see
me. I actually
didn't
think about washing my hair.
Because you weren't going anywhere.
The only people I've seen in the last month are you two. And no name sitting over on the computer, and Dan, you say, and Miss K. So I'm down to about 4 or 5 people I've seen in the last month.
And he means no name affectionately, because all these guys kind of look the same and they're of the same age, and Phil can't keep up with them. So he just calls them all no names.
Yeah. Which is funny. But look, Dad.
What's funny about it is they answer you.
Oh, yeah.
In a loving way.
They'll be that. So I was with Jay just discovered. You saw that when Terry Bradshaw was on Larry King a few years ago. Did you watch that interview? Did somebody show it to you?
I don't think.
I had to show it to you. So on there, it was just interesting. And Jay pointed this out. I'd seen it before. Jay had never seen it. And they were talking about you. So Larry King was saying, this is back when the show was on. He was like, do you think the Duck Dynasty guy could have really played in the NFL? That was his question to Terry Bradshaw. Of course, they talk about you. But he reveals in that interview that you are the one that nicknamed him the Blonde Bomber in college. And what struck Jay and I was that, you know, we've always known Dad nicknames people, mostly because we think he just doesn't want to know their name.
Well, and he has offended thousands.
Oh, of course. You know,
because he says, he states the obvious, but especially when you get into the female world.
Yeah.
You don't call a female
thunder legs
or, you know, husky or which I know
chubby.
Phil, I know you and I know you don't mean anything by it, but for the rest of the population, they find that offensive. So I've tried to help you with that because I'm designated as the representative of the family.
Their names, I do that because their names, I don't remember their names.
But I did find it interesting that you've been doing that since college because you actually called Bradshaw the Blonde Bomber. So that's pretty interesting. All right, so Jace, you had your call-in with Jeremy Camp last week, and I thought that went so well. I enjoyed that so much. I decided today, I hadn't told you guys, this is a complete surprise. This is a podcast unashamed surprise for our audience that I've got someone that I want to call to be on the show for a little while.
Oh boy.
And so, and it's a close person, but they've never been on our show before. So let me see if I can get him on the phone. This will be
as a general rule, I don't like surprises.
Is there a drum roll?
All right. Oh, here we go. We're ringing. Willie answers the question. We're going to put it under that mic.
Yeah, hello.
Oh, hang on.
Well, my first impression was Mountain Man.
All right, so you're a mystery person right now. Jason, Dad do not know about this call.
I know now because
I see
his name on the phone. I thought you were Mountain Man, which is disturbing.
Mountain dog.
Mountain.
So you know who it is yet, Dad?
Nope.
Dad still can't figure it out. Can you say something that only Dad would recognize who this person is?
Nope, you're still on Mountain, man. We've gone through that.
All right, here, let me give Dad. Here you go. I got it. So I'll give Dad a hint. The person on the phone, you saw him being born.
Well, that narrowed it down.
Jeptha Robinson.
It's your own son.
I like Jeff that it
Jeff,
took about.
Is that you, son?
I don't know if
that's
this
me.
This went from warm and fuzzy to disturbing.
We noticed that when
there
he was born, when he was born, we looked at his hands, oh, and his little finger on one hand was about just a little stub there. And I said, boy, that gene pool is dropping off in a hurry. So the mutations had caught up with old Jeppico.
Jeff, I didn't know. Is there one of your digits is not the same as the others?
It is a little bit shorter. I wouldn't call it a nub, but it is a little bit shorter.
I'd never noticed that. And
he showed it to me, and I thought,
We didn't have to show it to you. You saw it.
I just thought he was the last one, so he was a little bit shortchanged, if you understand what I'm saying.
I really don't. I thought we were all made in the image of God.
Jeff. By the way, Jeff is in a terrific work helping orphans.
Well, yeah, and we want to talk about that. Jeff, so just to let the audience know, so Jeff is our youngest brother, which most of you probably know that, but some of you may not. And Jeff is, let's see, Jeff, you're 41?
Yep.
You're 41.
41. I'm 55, so I'm the oldest to youngest.
He's the second best looking brother.
Yeah, behind me. That's true. Me.
He's a looker.
Yeah, and I think Jep has a lot of Dad's qualities, especially when Dad was younger. You see a lot of that because of the dark hair. He had the darkest hair of all of us.
Jep, I mean, look, you got you know, what are you, the United Nations? How many kids do you have now?
You got
five children.
And the other morning, Kay answered the phone, and it was Gus, Jep. And Jep said, Mama, how you doing? She said, Gus, is that you? How old is Gus, Jep?
4 years old.
Which is Jeff's adopted child. You got four by, what would you call it?
Biological.
Thank you, Jeff. Because there's no telling what was fixing to come out next.
Acquired.
Yep.
And then you adopted Gus. And Gus, he's 4 years old. How big is he, Jeff?
He is large. So he's 100 percentile in height and weight. So he wears 6 to 7 year old clothing.
Oh my goodness.
And he weighs like 50 something pounds.
So for whatever reason, even though Dad had potentially a NFL arm, none of us had any potential professional sports qualities. So Jeff, you may have adopted into our family a potential.
Well, speak for yourself. I just didn't pursue that. I mean, at least I had the anatomy, because y'all got too much of K. Well, I mean, I was.
What were you going to be?
Taller. I could
a
been,
pro bowler.
I could have done that. I pursued that for a couple months.
Who didn't? Willie did too.
Baseball, so Jeff has football. It in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, Jeff moved to Austin 2 years ago.
I did. It's good. You know, we're surviving, I guess, during this time. But yeah.
I wanted to jump in, Jep. I taught you a skill, or I introduced you to a skill, and I know it's perfect. I've tried to convince Phil and Al of this, but it's not working. One of the best things you can do during this pandemic is metal detect, and I introduced you to that, so I'd like to know how that's going along. Did y'all know that?
You know, Jep actually told me that he and River had gotten into that. I didn't know it was through your influence, but yeah. I should have. Yeah, how's that going, Jeff?
Yeah, we definitely been doing it. It's been great. I have found some cool stuff. I just had my best find. I found a button from a jacket from World War I.
Thank you.
That's pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
Awesome. Yeah, you sent me a picture of that. It was awesome. I mean, I needed somebody, because this is better when you can kind of share your finds with someone who understands the pain of metal detecting, because it can be tough.
So, Jeff, when you were at the orphans home in, where was it, Ethiopia, have you heard any reports about the coronavirus spreading out in places in Africa?
Yeah. for sure. You know, they had that locust thing come through there, which was horrible. I guess y'all saw that deal.
Oh, yeah.
It's like
pestilence.
No, I haven't.
Plague.
Jace hasn't. He doesn't watch the
movie. Explain that to me.
No, just like this horde of like millions, billions, trillions of locusts came through, ate all their crops, and like you couldn't drive down the street, like swept all the way through, like through Africa. It was terrible. So they had that and the corona. So yeah, it's been pretty tough.
So Jeff, tell the audience kind of back up and tell about what you're doing, the group you're with, and that sort of thing. It's really interesting. Mom and Lisa and I went over to Jeff hosted a fundraiser for what he's doing now, and it was really interesting, and I thought really fascinating. So tell our audience about it.
Yeah, for sure. So I went to their gala a year ago, which you came to a couple months ago, but and I just last minute thing with a buddy, and I just love what they're doing, and it's called All God's Children International. And we do orphan care and international adoption kind of all over the world. And I just kind of fell in love with what they're doing and the people involved, and was like, I got to be a part of this. So I'm a advancement officer for All God's Children and love it.
That sounds official. Advancement officer.
We're proud of you, bud. And I have to say, the Jeff was in charge. Basically, he and another guy of the gala that we were at, you know, it's in Austin, Texas. It's kind of a swanky place, you know, and it's about like, you know, Tebow's
plus
deal.
Plus, we've all donated to it to help in the orphans.
Sure, because look, I mean, the Bible says there you get no closer to God. There's no better picture of what it means to be a believer in the Almighty than when you take care of widows and orphans.
James 1.
Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, Jet, what you're doing is exactly what God called us to do, and you're making it happen.
For sure. I never thought this would be something I would do. And, I mean, I got to give credit to Mom and Dad for always showing me that. And I remember being a little kid, and Mom would give me, you know, $5, $10, and I'd go find some of the widowed ladies at church and give them, you know, some money. And they were just so appreciative. And I just, you know, grew up knowing the power of that. And, yeah, exactly that, like, That's really what being a Christian is about. It's helping the helpless.
That is true. I mean, like, that's one of my memories as a kid. I mean, we didn't have any money. Y'all didn't either. But y'all always set that example of helping widow ladies.
Well, and it didn't have to be money. A lot of times it was fish or stuff we killed or, you know, whatever. So, Jeff, talk about that a little bit more, because we've talked about it a lot on the podcast. And obviously, Jason and I, being on the older end of our family, we still have memories of Dad pre-Christian, especially me, and then saw the transformation. But in your case, you grew up totally in a Christian home when Mom and Dad's lives had both been totally changed. So what was your perspective on growing up out here on the river and just, you know, kind of, you mentioned already some of the stuff you learned, but how would you characterize it? Because we've kind of given a different picture of Dad before and after, but what about just Dad and Mom after?
It's definitely different, I think, than most people grew up, as far as just, you know, I just remember being a kid too and, you know, running the boat motor, and we're going out, Dad's running the nets, and you know, working as a kid and putting, you know, dipping the calls and, but as far as like, you know, just family, I remember as a kid just watching Dad study the Bible with just hundreds and hundreds of people, and just like, I don't think this is normal, but it's really cool. and walking down the river and baptizing people, it's just, it's definitely a different way to grow up, but amazing. And, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, and you had a lot of times, I'm sure, I remember, because I was living next door when you were a little boy, but Lisa and I were married, but I remember so many times when I'd meet somebody over there that had come down the night before, there'd be some wet clothes out on the front porch, and, you know, like, they weren't there when I left there the day before, and then there's a person there that was, like, had been baptized, so that was kind of a normal.
So, Jeff, you have a house full of girls now. So how does that, when you wake up in the morning?
Well, there's two boys.
Two boys.
Yeah.
And you have these little girls running around. How old are you, your girls now?
Oh, they're at that
17,
age.
17, 15, and 13.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Lily's oldest two got boyfriends. I'm doing that with air quotes.
Woo.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
But they're good girls. I mean, everybody warns, like, oh man, you just wait till they get a certain age. But I haven't seen a problem. They're great, and you know, I don't know.
Well, you and Jessica have done a great job. I mean, your kids are awesome. I agree. I love them, and I mean that's part of the whole thing about growing with them. But yeah, it is an interesting time you're about to get into. There's a lot of drama with, you know, girls.
Boy, when you say 17, 15, and 13, you realize that time is passing by.
It goes by quickly. Yep.
So have you interviewed the boyfriends yet?
You know, the oldest, Lily's, this boy, it was kind of a strange call, but he called me and said, hey, Mr. Robertson, is there any way I could get coffee with you? And this was, I didn't know who this kid was. And I said, sure. And so I went with him the next morning, and he just kind of sat down. He's kind of nervous, I could tell. And he's like, I just want to know if I could ask Lily on a date. This was like 6 months ago, and I said, well, buddy, you're stepping in the right direction here. I mean, I'd never heard of that. I didn't do that as a 17-year-old kid.
So. I like, too, dad would call it yuppie, but definitely the urban way of asking is more the call of, hey, let's meet at Starbucks, you know, for
Well, Jeff, it's funny you mention that because Mia had said there was a guy she wanted to go out with, and I said, well, here's my number. You give it to him, and I want to talk to him first. Guess what? He never rang. The relationship dissolved. So it is a good thing. I mean, that was my idea, because I just thought, I'll have a conversation. I was thinking on the phone. But that ended whatever his intent was.
I would think by now, having heard this conversation, the people in America, a lot of them we're speaking to, would say, boy, when you get ready to start dating their daughters, there is a vetting process second to none.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is smart.
Well, I told Mia that. I said, if you, the next potential one, you tell him I'll take him hunting. Because, you know, when they think, oh, it's her dad, guns are involved, we're going to have a conversation. Oh, they're out. That's unless right. They have, you know, unless they're serious.
What did Stone say when he talked to some guy his little daughter was dating? He said, had a little speech, you know, I find out that you've hurt this girl in any way, I will kill you. I
mean, no, he said, whatever, if you cause her any pain, I will bring that pain tenfold to you.
And he didn't want to scare him, but he.
Well, that was too. I said, Jay, that. Okay. There's a speech, and then there's that.
there's an arrest warrant. All right. We're long on break. Jeff, hang on. I'm going to take a quick break, and then I want you to tell folks how to reach out if they want to find out more about who your organization is. Let's take a quick break.
You got it.
So the world's a dangerous place, as we've made mention, and sometimes when you get these...
Here, start over. That was really loud. I don't even start. Okay. Right. Something buzzed in my ear.
Okay.
It was my phone.
So right now we got a lot of uncertainty in the world. Dad, would you think that would be a...
Understatement.
Yeah, a fair way of characterizing it. And people are at home, obviously, because of quarantine, and we are at home. And so you want your home to be as safe as possible. And so home security right now is always something that we're looking into. And of course, cameras, there's a lot of different ways now to kind of protect yourself. And we got a great company called Simply Safe that basically will send you the protection to set up on your home. We're talking about cameras, an alarm system for you to be able to protect
your
home.
I have cameras in my top three of safety measures, you know, guns, dogs, cameras.
That's right. Because you got to have a way to take a look, right?
Yeah.
So the folks at Simply Safe, you don't have to have these, you know, outrageous contracts and monthly fees. You just order it online, set it up yourself in under an hour. Dad, you might want to get somebody for you. And then your home is protected 24/7. You got emergency dispatch, break-ins, fire, everything. 50 cents a day, so it's very affordable. If you go to simplysafe.com/unashamed, all of our listeners are going to get free shipping and 60-day free trial. So you get 2 months for free just to check it out and just to try it. So
this right here is better than my guard dogs with weapons. I have weapons, guard dogs.
Here's why. Because it's a deterrent. It's like when somebody pulls up in your yard, if they see a dog growling, if they see somebody like you with a gun, if they see a camera, they go,
Just one more way to keep it safe. simplysafe.com/unashamed. You get free shipping, 60-day free trial. Check it out, simplysafe.com/unashamed. All right, so Jeff, tell us where folks can contact if they'd like to check more out with All God's Children.
So you can go to allgodschildren.org, and right now we have, you know, of course, with everything going on, we have an emergency relief fund to, you know, try to get through these next few months. And really, we kind of picked out kind of the most important things we're doing, which is we're doing a virtual counseling services for 200 children who are victims of sexual abuse and living in institutions. We're funding for 24/7 support staff for the girls quarantined at our dream home in Columbia, which I've been to. It's amazing. And then we have in-person wellness checks for 500 sponsored students, and that's in Ethiopia and Guatemala. So those three initiatives is kind of what we're working on right now, kind of in this pandemic. So any help would be super appreciated. And, you know,
awesome.
Thank you for letting me tell about them.
I'll send you some money. Look, send me a picture. I want to see those locusts, what they look like. I know this is a side note, but I'm just, I want to look.
A plague of locusts. Man, well, I want to see. Sounds like Exodus.
I want to see which version. That
somebody
is.
Sent me a note that watched the podcast, and it mentioned the locust deal there, all those fires, remember, in Australia,
yeah,
and then the coronavirus. It was all hitting within the same year, and it said, boy, it looks to me like we got something going on here in a large sense.
It could be God asking a simple question, Jep. Do you see me now?
For sure.
I don't know. There might be a little panic there. I mean, I know this. Everybody's trying to find out when God. Oh, this is the sign that God's coming back. But it says he's coming like a thief. So whenever you think he's coming back, guess what? That's not it.
It'll be something else.
All right.
Good talk,
Jeff. Yeah, anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Love you guys. Miss y'all. Well, hopefully get to see y'all soon.
Well, I'm glad you weren't here physically, but next time you're in town, we'll have you on, you know, for a whole podcast. But it was good to at least have you on. Now we've had Willie's been on here, and Mom and Si. So we're glad that our little brother made it on with us. So just know we're proud of you guys. Give Jess and the kids our love, and
You're doing a good work. Keep it up, man.
A good work. Thanks, look, Dad. I may come down there and metal detect with you where you found the button. Is that cool?
Come on. You're always welcome.
Let's do it.
Awesome. All right. Love you, bro.
Love y'all.
All right. Bye.
Well, that was cool.
Then what about that?
That was a good call.
Was that a good surprise?
Yeah, I haven't heard from Jep in a while.
Well, I was going to surprise you guys. He was going to come over this week, but then with all this going on, he just couldn't get away from work and stuff. So he wanted to just hang with us a little bit. So I said, well, look, we'll just call you. I said, I wouldn't have even known that was possible. We hadn't done the Jeremy Camp thing. And I was like, that worked out well, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And we could hear him and all that.
Well, he's doing a good work. He's really, you know, matured and doing
well.
He had
to kind of find himself. You know, think about it. He's the youngest. And I mean, we're like, this family is, there's a lot of big personality, as you guys have noticed. And so Jet was the youngest and the quietest already.
Well, so, you got to remember, he had to go through years of abuse from his older three brothers.
I'd say older too. I never. You and Willie were the Jep abusers, not me.
You know, the amount of pain that I inflicted on that boy is shameful. I'm not saying that funny. It was terrible, you know. But that's.
I'm glad you wised up, Jason.
I just grew up and said, you know.
And in all honesty, I did the same thing to Jay's and Willie. So it was just a little bit of a, you know, it was a tradition.
I mean, y'all are part to blame because y'all, you know, I don't know where y'all were.
If someone had told me that I would even be around and my oldest son, Al, you're 50 what?
Five.
You're 55 years old.
I can drive 55.
I mean, it's a weird time because I thought, you know, mid 50s, I'm like, whoa.
And now you look back, when I see video of you, like, at 55, or some of the Duck Commander stuff, you still had pretty much a black beard, just a little gray in there.
You know what's weird? Is there some of these older ladies of the church, this is very embarrassing to say, they keep coming up to me and saying, Phil, I just love you so much. And
they're mistaking you for me.
And I'm like, oh, no problem, you know. Some of these older widow ladies that y'all have helped through the years, I'm like, I lean over to Missy and say, they think I'm my dad.
She's How does like, that make you feel, Jay?
Old.
Yeah, your beard, look at his beard, Al.
I know.
How much gray it's
you
coming
keep
in
bringing this up. Somehow I think it's
this
making you
so
feel.
This came so suddenly because I remember.
Well, it didn't. It's been years. You're noticing it and you're like.
Life is a vapor.
It started off a little and guess what? It just rapidly
so I cut since I cut mine and regrow mine every year it's grayer than the year before, so mine grew out pretty long this year, and I can't tell how many people said, man, you're looking more like your dad every day, which meant you're getting old.
That's why I've figured it out. That's one of the reasons people shave, because yeah. See, Al, he can entertain the idea of denial by shaving and say, I don't have gray hair.
That's right.
Oh, it's there.
That's right.
It's hiding.
It's a hiding. It's a hidden trick. Skin. There's no doubt. It's just like hair follicles on top. Let's have a quick break and then we'll dive in. So it's shocking. We've talked about this before, that people can steal your home, which is bizarre when you think about it, but there is a way that it's been done. I guess what do you call it, Jay? The invent ways of doing evil.
That's what this is.
Verse
where there's success and where people flourish, which the internet has changed the world as we know it. There's also the rise of the inventions of evil.
Exactly. Yep. And so there have been people that have lost their home because the title to their home was, as Dad calls it, somewhere out there in computer land. It was online, and someone got it and basically forged it and then borrowed a bunch of money against the house. And then obviously the person who owned it said, well, I didn't borrow this money. And they were like, you know, you got to get out of your own house. So it's happened. So anyway, we want you to protect yourself. At least check it out. Home title fraud, the FBI says, is one of the fastest growing crimes. So if you go to HometitleLock.com. This is the company that's providing basically a private network to protect it for you. HometitleLock.com. You enter Phil, and you get 1 free month of protection. You can also register, make sure that you still own your house. So that's HometitleLock.com/Phil. That's not right. Cut that last one because there's no slash. HometitleLock.com and enter Phil for 1 month. So we had a good visit with old Jeppico, which is always good. Jeff is really, like I said, he's hit his own little stride, spiritually, everything. And he's a great daddy and Jessica, so we love him.
He has great children.
He does. And, you know, I miss him not living here because it was really cool. And because he lived next door, well, 2 houses down from Jay's and on our same street. And I miss that.
They still have their house. They just rent it out.
Right.
You know.
And, you know, it was kind of cool to have all of us right there together just anytime you want to go see it.
He's the only one that's left town.
Yeah. He was the duckling that left the duck pond, as they say. But, you know, he left to do his food business and did great. And made pretty good amount of money doing it. But he realized in the food business that you're talking about a workhouse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just you can't hardly do that long term if you're doing all the cooking, running the business and all that. So after about 2 years of that, he thought, you know, I probably need to be looking ahead. So now he's in with a great group. And check those guys out because what they do is great work. So
Al, what can we learn from John chapter 4?
Well, we led up last time to you brought us right up to kind of the moment. Before we get back to that, I want to back up just a little bit from where we were before and reset the setting here. So it's in the middle of the day when, and by the way, in this culture, the women would go get the water, you know, from the well, you know, for a lot of different reasons, for family, for, you know, livestock, everything else. And so in their culture, in this period of time especially, it was kind of a social gathering. You know, in America, you may have used to be they'd gather to wash clothes or whatever. You know, women getting together, kind of catching up, I guess doing a little gossip probably. And it's interesting because Jesus is traveling, as we said. The Bible says in John 4, he's hot and he's tired. And so he sees this well.
Well, it's Jacob's well, which, by the way.
It's kind of a famous well.
Oh, yeah. Well, they have the modern-day Jacob's well now. Yeah, it's in a monastery. I have it. We didn't visit it, but I've seen pictures. But I always like it when you have history, because this, you know, the Bible's a book of history. It's not like, I think people that are not in Jesus, they tend to think it's some kind of collection of fairy tales, and but no, you can ride over there and say, "There's the well."
Yeah.
So I mean, it just gives it more credibility when you add up all these things. They try to find things that doesn't make sense, which are few, and they're just confused. But the overwhelming majority of these places are there to see, and it gives you the, you know, the picture of what's going on.
And I never think that things in the Bible are accidental. I'm one of those kind of people, when I study the Bible or I'm presenting something, I look for the little things that a lot of people don't notice. And I found it interesting in this that this would be Jacob's wedding. Now, Jacob is one of the patriarchs of the Bible.
You know, he dug about three before he got the right one, the one that they kept weeding him out.
Exactly. So it was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what was interesting about Jacob, out of all the patriarchs, and these guys are in the lineage of Jesus. I mean, these guys are the guys that started the Old Testament, the whole deal, is that Jacob was what I would call the most troubled of the early patriarchs. He wound up with four wives, and there's a long story how he got there. He had 12 kids by four different women, all trying to live together. Now, you talk about a blended family.
Whew.
That family was a mess. And so his whole life was just, you know, chaos. And I thought it was interesting that it just so happened to be his well that Jesus visits this troubled woman at. I mean, there are things that interest me when I read the Bible. There's a lot of history that goes in with that. So this woman, Jesus wants some water. He goes over to this well. There's a woman there by herself in the middle of the day, which is unusual. She should have been there with the group that came out probably early in the morning while I was still cool. This is the desert where we're talking about these people are. So the question is, why was she coming out there by herself? Why would she not be with her little group that she would normally do? So you're already getting a little bit of idea as to this woman had some problems, right?
Yeah, she's a floozy.
She's a floozy.
I mean, that's...
Yeah.
What the interpretation.
So Jesus shows up, and so he does the unthinkable from her perspective. She looks at him and instantly knows he's a Jewish man. He asked her, he said, "How about a drink of water? You know, will you give me a drink?" Which violates everything that he would say as a Jewish man and as a rabbi, especially. And
verse 9 says that. Right. She's like, Jews... Well, she said, "How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." I mean,
so here's the interesting thing. And then I want you to get your take on this first thought before we get to the sort of the main piece. So Jesus says to her, "Hang on, let's take a break, and then we'll do that." So as we often talk about on this podcast, you know, physical breakdowns are becoming a regular part of our life, unfortunately. As Dad says, we're kind of catching up with you. So one of the issues is inflammation. You know, there's all kinds of aches, pains, you know, your body just after a while, you know, you do something, you strain something, it inflames. Just your body trying to protect itself.
I don't have any of those, except if I've noticed mayhaws come out, little fruit that grows on trees. We make jelly out of it. It grows in the woods wild. When the mayhaws start falling, this year they fell in mid-April, and they'll be gone by May,
right,
which is amazing because it's a May haul.
Right.
But these mayhaws, picking them up, you're on your hands and knees crawling around picking them up.
You had some aches and pains, right?
Aches and pains the next day. Your legs, you're like, whoa.
Well, I may have a product for you, Dad, and I am excited about trying it. It's called Omega XL, and I had a fascinating conversation with the McQuillans, and the wife is a doctor. And the husband is the one that runs their business. And so they've been doing this for 30 years of research. And what's fascinating is this is basically for anti-inflammatory. And they told me that they here's how they discovered it. I said, well, where does it come from? And they said it comes from mussels. You know, like you got river mussels?
Yeah.
Mussels. They did the research on these mussels, and they only grow them in one place in New Zealand in about 90 foot of water. They have a mussel farm.
Yeah.
That's where they come from. And so, which made sense to me when I thought about it, you know, you think about a mussel, all it's doing is just staying a mussel.
You can go along this riverbank and see the the piles of mussel shells at various locations where the Indian tribes back in 1400, 1300, they all camped along this river, but they ate freshwater mussels.
Which, and were probably in pretty good health. So that's the concept behind this Omega XL. Basically, 30 years of research. It's a natural supplement. These guys were amazing, and I learned a lot about
it. Do you swallow them?
Yeah, yeah, they're pills.
Yeah, I tried to eat one of those mussels. Boy, they're rough.
Yeah, I'd rather take the pills than the mussels.
I just had to try it. You know?
So I'm gonna start on them. I'm gonna try it. So they told me in a couple of weeks you feel a lot better, but about 2 months you feel fantastic. So I'm gonna let you guys know. So we're gonna try to stay healthy. I'm gonna be the guinea pig for us, Omega XL. And so here's what you do.
You mean none of this? This is all natural.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're from mussels.
Help the golf swing, you know?
It could help a lot, and I could use a lot of help. OmegaXL.com/Phil. OmegaXL.com/Phil to check them out and to see. This may be just what you need, Dad.
Yeah.
So Jesus says to her, if you knew the gift of God, this is verse 10, and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.
What a statement.
I mean, I just find that fascinating that was his answer back to her when she says, why are you even, you shouldn't even be talking to me. And that's his answer.
Because really, we view it as we're looking for Jesus in search of the Lord's way. Where can I find it? Or people share their testimony. They're like, you know, I found Jesus in the strangest places, and they tell their story. But really, the whole time, he was looking for you. Yeah, he finds you, but it's about
kind of one of those moments where Jesus is saying, boy, if you only knew who you were talking to, girl.
That's right.
It's kind of why John the Baptist in the previous chapter said he must become greater and I must become less, because it is your perspective. You know, even the story in Luke 15 where you have the self-indulgent prodigal son who
Going back to your Colossians text, Jace, I mean, he's the God of the universe. And he's sitting down in the middle of nowhere next to a water well, and he's thinking, boy, she doesn't realize that, you know, I'm the one that makes dirt, water, and universes.
Yeah, but my point is, in that story in Luke 15, you had the self-righteous brother who still, it doesn't matter.
And the parable is really for him.
Yeah, he didn't have that's who it's really about.
That's right.
Is he missed it because it's still about him and his own righteousness.
And it was a TBD. He didn't get his stuff worked out. So, Jace, I thought it was interesting because this was a great example of something Dad used to teach us when we were kids about how Jesus operated. Dad, you called it directional dialogue. In other words, he would take a situation like this. I mean, it's about water, but then all of a sudden he's talking about living water. And, you know, he threw her a curve, and he did it to get her somewhere.
But look, that's the way the reason I always bring up these products, I know y'all think it's funny, because every time when I go to the grocery store, number one, I'm trying to buy groceries. Number two, I'm looking at labels where they use spiritual principles to try to sell their crap. Look, I'll give you two more that I just found. This new craze now, people are like, we're not going to eat meat. So there's two new products out here. I know I'm chasing a rabbit, but this is insane what they name these things. The two hottest non-meat, listen to their names. You have Beyond Meat. Y'all heard of that?
No.
It's Beyond. And then, look, then you have Impossible Foods. They named it Impossible. You can't make this stuff up.
So is it like a meat substitute or something?
Oh, yeah. It's like soybean burgers or whatever. Ooh. And so they're, it's a craze.
Well, your brother's all caught up in this. His whole family's
They're trying it. They're like, it makes me feel better. You know, I'm like, okay. It's more for me. I love people who get off into this because I'm like, that's the amount of frogs. You know, once you get off meat, I'm thinking, well, that's more for the rest of me, because I don't
trust
want
me
you.
When I tell you, if you know the farmer's getting about $7 a bushel,
Yeah.
Like, this is a cheap form of so-called meat, that's for sure.
Oh, I know. But my point is, but they're trying to sell it by saying, this is just impossible.
And beyond.
It's beyond.
In one of the...
Well, you took some...
It's soybeans and you're calling it meat.
Yeah. Isn't that what
No, you're calling it impossible. So we pulled off the impossible here.
But don't
we made
the
a soybean taste like a deer backstrap.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? No, that is impossible. You had it right.
I know this
time.
Is a shocker, but these soybeans, the way we put them together, it's like eating a fine ribeye.
Impossible.
We pulled off the impossible.
Don't they have one of the, isn't it the impossible Big Mac or the impossible Whopper? One of the food things has that in there. That's what theirs is called for one of their standard hamburgers.
But you talk about what's going on here, though, when Jesus said, oh, if you'd have known who it is that asked you for a drink, he'd have given you living water.
Right.
So now you're like, whoa. So what was her reply to that?
She says, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. So, Jay, she had to put your rabbit hands up because it went right over her head. You know, she still thinks he's talking about the water in the well. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? Which is funny that she would say that. Who gave us the well and drank from it himself and did also his sons and his flocks and his herds.
And so he goes back to the directional dialogue. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. That's my point I brought up about the impossible, because you can take these conversations, even in a grocery store, and you could get into the real, you know, I mean, because I love toilet paper. I mean, that's the hottest thing going. It's the greatest directional dialogue, because it's like, you see that role of eternal Charmin or whatever it's called, you know? I'm like, it'll last you a month, ha, ha, ha. There is a way to live forever, you know? I mean, true eternity is found in Jesus. And I just think it's, I mean, what's the difference in having a conversation? It's what he's doing. It seems kind of silly when I say it, but we don't view this as silly because it's in the Bible, but it was a silly conversation. He starts talking about never thirsting and again, if you drink this, well, I have like some special water.
Exactly.
Well, most people, you're not seeing the absurdity of it because you've heard this story. But what he was doing was actually kind of absurd.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like, what?
So and look at the next step. Look what happens next.
I mean, in fact, she might be saying, I think you've been drinking a little more than water.
So here's what she comes back with after he gives her that last bite. And then I want you to watch what Jesus does. You talk about the go for the jugular. Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. In other words, you think she was being sarcastic? No, I don't think so. She's like, yeah, I'll have it.
Would you believe that?
She's a troubled woman in the middle of nowhere in the heat of the day.
She's gullible, I'll give you that. So, naive, maybe.
So here's what he says. So here's his big answer. Now, this is what...
She's basically saying, prove it.
Yeah, and so here's what he comes back with.
There's got to be a hint of sarcasm.
Here's what he comes back with. He told her, go call your husband and come back. You talk about left field.
Where did that come from?
He just got in her kitchen is what happened with that one statement.
Yeah.
Because the one thing she's ashamed about, Jesus went there. And then she says, I have no husband. And then he says, yeah, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you're now with is not your husband. So, yeah, what you said is quite true. Just a little bit. Oh, by the way, I'll just give you your whole history here in about 2 seconds.
So now it's gone from absurd to weird, because now she's thinking this guy's a stalker.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I would think.
Yeah. Well, she's thinking, I just ran up on him.
How did he know
this
that?
Dude, this dude is telling me my life story. How would he know that?
Yeah,
that's right.
She's thinking, I don't tell you. Whoa.
I was thinking stalker.
Well,
what else would you think?
Beginning to think there's more to him than she thought.
Then she got to profit
evidently,
I guess her past had been impossible to stalk. So, you know, because now you're figuring it all out on the fly. It's like, okay, this is some kind of, now it's making sense. Maybe that's why he has the boldness to eat. To drink, you know, with me in broad daylight. And he's not up from the planet. or he has some kind of special powers.
She's not sure what's going on. And what's interesting is I love her response. And to me, this really shows you how people think. So Jesus has just given her a little brief history of her life, and it's not good. So instead of her coming back and saying, well, you're right, I'm a mess, whatever, she's going to go theological to Jesus. That's her pivot. Watch. Sir, I can see you're a prophet. Now all of a sudden, we just went religious.
Yeah.
Well, because she couldn't think of how he would know that.
That's right.
There was no other way.
But she also didn't want to have any more conversation about the whole living with the guy.
Well, of course.
And the five of us.
And that's not unlike any other even religious person I know.
That's my
point. I've run up on it many a time.
Oh, yeah.
Thousands. You know, a Bible study breaks out while your life is a train wreck. I've had people argue with me, just start arguing, you know, like as I'm sharing Jesus with them. And they were like hammered drunk the night before.
Right. But
now it's like that doesn't mean anything. We're talking theology now. And they're like,
we can all argue about that.
You're wrong. I've told you this many times. When I was in the prison system sharing Jesus, they all wanted to argue about religion. Didn't want to talk about their life. You bring up their life, look, crickets. You bring up religion, they'll argue and rant and rave. And so finally I came up with a system of, I don't want to hear anything you got to say on theology, because it didn't work. You're behind bars. So your
once you get
opinion
that figured out,
is now not relevant until you get out of here, and then we'll proceed.
So anyway, so here's what she says. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. Talking about in Samaria. And she was right. It goes back. It's a long story, but she was right. But you Jews.
That was Mount Gerizim, by the way.
That's right. But you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. So all of a sudden, we go from talking about the water to the husbands to the shacking up to we're talking about worship. Where do we go to worship? She pivoted right out and got into this.
And Jesus tried to erase that line that sets people apart, and now she's putting it right back.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
She wants
she's
that division.
She's putting him in a compartment and like, well,
we shouldn't even be talking.
Yeah, what you're talking about.
I don't need to listen to you because you're on one side, I'm on the other.
That's right. Yeah. In other words, I think she's saying, what's the point? I mean, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan.
Well, the reason
this isn't going to end well.
The reason I brought up the geography too, because I think there's an underlying point here where you can go look at Jacob's well, you know, but the whole point people miss, because they'll take those sites over, because I was at Israel. Well, they turn them into shrines, which is the exact opposite of what his point was.
That's right.
Is that it's not, you don't deem the place. You remember when he told, because we talked about in John 3, the kingdom, that Luke 17, 20 and 21, he said, the kingdom of God will not come visibly. People will not say, and I'm quoting the verse, it says, people will not say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. Well, we know from John 3 what he had just told Nicodemus, that he was talking about the Holy Spirit.
Correct.
But here we are 2,000 years later, and we point at church buildings and say, there's the kingdom of God right there.
That's where you go worship.
Or we look at Israel and say, well, there's the holy site right there. Well, so when we go in, you know, people like they start whispering. You know, and you say, well, why are they whispering?
It's a holy place.
Well, it's a holy place. They do the same thing in church buildings. They're like, you can't drink
a coffee in there.
You can't take a bottle of water. So somebody singing on the worship in some churches. I've seen them. They're like, oh, this is a holy place. I'm like, well, if it's that holy, we all need to get the heck out of here.
Because we just made it.
Because we're sinful.
All right, let's take one last break, and then we'll wrap this up.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit FearlessArmyRollCall.com to secure your spot.
So, yeah, so the next line is the one Dad read last time, is which set us up here, is that he's about to reveal. Here's what I think is amazing, Jace. You brought this up last time. He's about to explain to this woman with nobody else around, Samaritan woman with a bad past, that he is here to change everything they've ever known.
That's right.
Her people, his people, about worship, about how it works, about that it's not a place, that it's all.
It was always about the temple. The temple, temple, the temple. The Samaritans had theirs. The Jews had theirs. The temple. Go to a place, the temple. Make it look fancy, you know.
That's
make
right.
it look.
And who can enter it?
Yeah, and who can enter it?
That was a big point here. Yep. That's why, I mean, he didn't choose this Samaritan woman on accident.
That's right.
You know, he took one with a troubled past from a different region where prejudice and racism was running rampant.
Oh, they
what
hated
he was trying
it.
To get her to see, and most people have missed this, by the way, but if you, when he, that next little text you're fixing to read, Al, what he's saying basically is you're going to be the temple.
That's right.
That's what he was saying.
And I'll just read it. Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain in Samaria nor in Jerusalem, which that was a big statement. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. So he wanted to get that lick in there that, look, it was set up for a reason. You know, all those years ago, you should have been going to Jerusalem. But anyway, yet a time is coming. In other words, who cares about that now? A time is coming and has now come, because he's there, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth.
There's your Romans 12.
Exactly. And it's incredible to me that, and Jace is right, it wasn't by accident that he chose this woman to say this out loud, because up to now he's only hinted at it a little bit with Nicodemus and with these people at the temple. Remember, he said it'll be destroyed. But he tells it to this Samaritan woman. And so that shows you that Jesus is every person in his mind matters just the same. It doesn't matter whether it's Samaritan woman, Pharisee of the ruling council, everybody's there for him.
I think there's an underlying point here too, which y'all may disagree, but this is a little deep. But he picked a woman also that had these six relationships, you know, five failed marriages, one live-in. And the principle I think he's sharing with her is that Ephesians 5, you know, when it talks about husbands and wives, and everyone goes there and everyone has a different opinion what that means. I've heard so many sermons on that. But you know what sermon I haven't heard at Ephesians 5, which was, I think, his point when he got down to the end. He said, this is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. His whole point was we're all married to Jesus. And so he was actually, in a way, presenting himself as the seventh husband, and not in a physical way. Because, in fact, you see how she responded. She then became a voice, you know, for Jesus.
Yeah, which
that's why, while you're there, that last little statement the woman said after Jesus told her, God is spirit and his worshipers worship him in spirit and truth, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us.
So she knew about the Messiah.
Yeah, he's coming. So whoever you are, I'm going to give you some information.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I love this conversation.
And Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. I'm the one.
I like the way he said it. And it's such a
amazing.
Drop the mic.
You
know, that's your bumper sticker, Jay.
He.
I who speak to you am he. It's just the way he put that, which is awesome.
Really.
I just like that slogan, am
he. So he finally identifies himself, and she's like, whoa.
So we're out of time for today, but next time when we come back, we're going to pick that up, because I want to finish out the story to show you what happens. And also what happens when the disciples, because disciples hadn't been watching all this, and they're going to show back up, and I want to show you how they missed it.
I mean, we'll go in different directions, but I will say this. If you learn... you know, anything from this chapter, don't share your testimony, share God's.
That's right. It's what he's done is the key, you know,
that's
and
it.
Changing us. So good stuff. We'll see you next time.
The place is wherever you're standing.
So we're so glad you guys were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or YouTube or Facebook. And be sure and rate us on iTunes so that other people can know about the podcast.